It's time to take this game into overtime. The official podcast of the Average Joe's Sports Show on 90.9 The Light Sports for our generation.
DNA Wrestling Podcast, Dent Day, Adam Fornwalt. Adam Fornwalt, the official or unofficial third certified G.
Unofficial.
See him within the next year or so walking out with Enzo and Cass.
You know, that would be great. I am going to the NXT live event. Obviously, they aren't there anymore, but yeah, a little love from Enzo and Cass never hurts anybody.
Yeah, so you'll see him in the leopard print.
Trust me, I do not look good in leopard print.
Nice.
I don't
have look you worn in leopard print before?
Can't say I have. Well, the certified G shirt's got some leopard print in it.
That's
so
true.
And I kind of feel a little weird wearing that around. But
if somebody got me a leopard print jacket, I would wear the leopard print jacket.
Denton, you can pull off anything. That's the problem. I can't.
That is,
I have a reputation to maintain. Your reputation is that you're just a G and nobody's going to mess with you. So truly, you are the unofficial certified G, but we just say that to make me feel better.
I have been told that I can pull anything off by multiple people. Unfortunately, not a lot of
women.
Them have been females. But we'll move on to that. So we're going to talk now about Monday Night Raw. A lot of wrestling this week. We had, obviously, with Backlash. If you missed our Backlash review, you can go check that out in the DNA Wrestling Podcast playlist on the Average Joe Sports Show on audioboom.com. So we talked a little bit about Backlash. Then we had Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. So we're going to start off with Monday Night Raw, the flagship network, so to speak. I'm going to be honest, I didn't get to see a whole lot of Monday Night Raw, but from what I was told, not a lot happened. I mean, we have the main event, which we'll get to that in a little bit, was, I guess, the biggest news of the show. But other than that, I don't know if any storylines really heavily progressed, so to speak.
No, not really. I mean, the biggest story was kind of set up last week, was Reigns going to be added into the Kevin Owens-Seth Rollins match. Which they were kind of leading up to. That was the big story coming into it this week. There were some matches created. There were some matches reestablished. Something we're not going to talk about, maybe we can talk about in the future, is the fact that they're kind of making the club guys kind of making them actual heels again, not
about
clowns.
Time.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's good that they're kind of reestablishing some people while kind of continuing the feud. Look, you're going to have Raws like this. They're kind of carryover Raws. They're kind of trying to get you to lead into Clash of Champions. So, again, you know, kind of a carryover Raw, not one that's going to get you too excited. The end of the show is very good, which we're about to talk about, but there were some good things set up.
It's about time you get the club to be actual bad guys.
Yeah.
I mean, testicle jokes are only so funny, and they really wore them out there. All right, we're done with the testicle jokes. All right, so we will get to the main event. Kevin Owens taking on Roman Reigns. If Roman Reigns wins, he is put into the match for the WWE Universal Championship at Clash of Champions. And he did not win. He actually got a nice visit from an old friend of his.
Yeah, an old friend being Rusev, who we didn't expect to see, I believe, for another couple weeks.
Yeah, we thought they were on a month to 2 months long
honeymoon. Yeah, that was the rumor going around anyway. But instead, Rusev pops back up with Lana at his side. And they destroy Roman Reigns. They take him out, which we haven't seen again. It's been Roman Reigns has the upper hand throughout this entire feud. Basically, since he came out and interrupted the wedding celebration, it's been all Reigns all the time. And instead now, it's refreshing to see a side of Rusev that we haven't seen in a while. The more aggressive side, probably in a month or so, he finally comes out, does his thing, kicks Reigns in the face, makes him cry in pain,
yeah,
to the accolade, not actually tap out, but kind of wince in pain. So I like it. I love seeing the aggressive Rusev, not the clown Rusev that they had with the League of Nations. So this is a good thing for Rusev, and it makes it more interesting. And everyone wants to see Reigns be the heel or the guy that they can boo. They're actually cheering Rusev now. They're in Philadelphia or in the surrounding area. Actually, they were in Baltimore. They were in Baltimore for Monday. Tuesday was Philadelphia. So they're in, you know, they're in Baltimore. You know, the fans tend to be a little more
like the bad guys.
Yeah, knowledgeable of the situation of what's going on around them. So this will be interesting to see what happens with them. I like the fact that they're giving Reigns his aggressiveness back.
And they need to have Rusev be built up as a monster heel. Because he can be. So Clash of Champions is...
This is a guy that's beat John Cena before.
Yes. Clash of Champions is what, 2 weeks away?
I believe so.
And yeah. every...
Not this Sunday, but next Sunday, I believe.
And obviously the build, or the theme of Clash of Champions is every championship is going to be defended. So we can expect, I'd assume, the first defense of the Cruiserweight Championship.
Right.
The tag teams, which will likely be New Day and the Club. The USA Championship, which will be Rusev and Reigns. And then Owens and Rollins in the main of... Not the main event, actually. Mm-hmm. The main event is going to be Banks and Charlotte. That's what I've been told.
Okay. Well, I mean, that should be a good match within itself.
Yeah.
You can't really argue for the women than not to. They probably have the most deeply rooted storyline going into this.
Absolutely.
Another match that's going to be on there, Chris Jericho versus Sami Zayn, was kind of established in a roundabout way because you've got Sami Zayn, obviously, with the feud with KO, and Chris Jericho says, I'll take care of this for you.
I got your back.
Exactly. So we'll see if Sami Zayn gets it or if Sami Zayn can knock off Chris Jericho for a big win.
The only issue that I have with the women's match being the main event, and this has nothing to do with the actual women itself, it likely means that we are going to have a odd finish to the Universal Championship, which I don't know if I'm a fan. Depending on what the finish is, I don't know if I'm a fan of
that. Well, I think you have to look at Charlotte being a placeholder champion at this point. I think it's going to be Sasha Banks comes in and takes the belt. Maybe something with Bayley comes into play. Dana Brooke, obviously. I think Dana Brooke's going to cost her a championship. And then you can have Sasha go after Bayley and have Charlotte versus Dana Brooke, which again causes more storylines to open up.
But who's the face in that one? Because nobody's going to cheer for Dana Brooke, because let's be honest,
yeah,
she kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to drive sympathy for someone who's not good.
Yeah, so you'd have to make Charlotte the face, which you could do.
Yeah, or as Booker T says, good! we need to get that. We need to get a little sound clip of that because that's amazing.
All right, so that's
not my impression because my impression sucks. But yeah.
one day you'll be the master impressionist. All right, so we're gonna move now over to the Tuesday night, the Blue Brand WWE SmackDown Live.
I knew this made you happy, Dan.
Yeah, my wife, future wife, Alexa Bliss, please marry me. She is now the number one contender for the women's champion, the SmackDown Live Women's Championship. After being the first one eliminated in the match at Backlash, she is now the number one contender. She looks very good in that Harley Quinn-like makeup. Like I said, Alexa Bliss, if you're listening, please marry me.
I'm very confused by this, not the fact that you love her. That's obvious.
She's beautiful.
But the fact that you have her eliminated first, yet she's your number one contender.
I was also very upset that, not because, obviously, because I think she's beautiful, but I did not like that she was eliminated first in that six-pack challenge. I think she's too good of a wrestler to be eliminated ahead of girls like Naomi and Carmella.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Carmella was the big storyline because she defeated Nikki Bella. So I kind of feel like if you were going to go with a more vicious heel, that was the one that you were building up. Now, Alexa has much more potential than Carmella, in my opinion.
Yeah.
As far as a vicious heel goes, she established that well on NXT, that she is vicious and brutal as a heel. But I'm just confused that they're just building up girls that they feel like, okay, well, let's just go with her. Nah, let's go with her. You know, it's kind of doesn't feel like there's any rhyme or reason to it. Alexa Bliss has done nothing since she's been on WWE programming.
She had the magazine cover. I think when they look at her, they see somebody that they can market for a pretty long time. Because I don't know, they have a couple really good divas. Obviously, the Bellas won some Teen Choice Award or something. But nobody is, I guess, that marketing machine of a female right now. I mean, Bayley could be, but they haven't used her right.
The only knock against Alexa Bliss is that she's short.
That's
really the only, you know, and you've got the height there with Charlotte. She's basically your most marketable champion right now, the daughter of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks obviously is related to Snoop Dogg, so you've got that connection as well. The little girls love Bayley, so you've got kind of your marketable people there, which I kind of see again with SmackDown being able to test the waters with people like Slater and Rhino, with AJ Styles. And if you want to give a belt to Becky Lynch, who kind of is that fourth member of the Four Horsewomen that doesn't get the most attention, I'm fine with that. If you want to give Alexa Bliss a run with this, go for it. I like SmackDown because it allows people to have opportunities like Alexa Bliss to be a number one contender, where they may not get that on Raw because it's seen as the more serious show.
Yeah, they wouldn't get that on Raw. So
it's, you know, SmackDown's always been the wrestling show. It's been given to the people. Opportunities are given to people that deserve them on SmackDown. This booking just kind of confuses me a little bit, whereas you're building Carmella as the monster heel, not Alexa Bliss.
So. And we had a brand new superstar on SmackDown Live, the most world-renowned all-American. Jack Swagger left Monday Night Raw and signed with SmackDown. So we have our first feel of kind of the switching between brands aspect. Granted, Jack Swagger is nowhere near as close to the main event as he once was in his illustrious career, but he's going to get TV time on SmackDown.
Yeah, former world champion on the SmackDown brand, really in those dark years of SmackDown that no one really watched or it was known as the quote-unquote wrestling show. He is a former world champion. Now, the knock against him is the fact that he has a lisp, and everyone knows that. But he's a good wrestler, and his gimmick with Zeb Coulter really helped carry him to a established, not star, but a mid-card role. He's not a main event guy, but he has the main event experience, and he's definitely a mid-card guy. He doesn't deserve to be sitting on the bench in any programming, in any TV show. If he went to TNA, he'd be a star there. If he went to ROH, he'd be a main eventer. This guy has the potential to have a good feud with anyone that he comes across. His stuff with Rusev was excellent. That's basically the most recent stuff.
Yeah.
Before that, you know, obviously had his role with Zeb Coulter, with Cesaro. But I like Jack Swagger. I like seeing him on TV. They threw him into a feud with Baron Corbin, so who knows what's going to happen with Apollo Crews. But, you know, I like it. I like it. You've got an obvious heel versus an obvious baby face with the We the People gimmick. I like it. I want to see where it goes from here. It gives another piece to SmackDown, which really kind of got the short end of the stick in this draft. I like the move.
Yeah, I think it's it could be a very, very good move. Hopefully Jack Swagger can kind of live up to the potential we know he has, because he was a very accomplished collegiate wrestler. That was, like, he actually wrestled in college. He was very similar to Dolph Ziggler, where he was very good in college as well. All right, so we're now going to talk about the face that runs the place, or the battle for that nickname, so to speak. AJ Styles, as we said on our Backlash review, is the champion. He won. He beat Dean Ambrose in a low blow style, but he's a heel, so that's allowed to happen.
Yep.
And you kind of had to think that when AJ Styles eventually did win the championship, there was going to be a certain return, because somebody needs a 16th world championship. And that somebody came back, and that somebody is John Cena. And John Cena came out and cut a nice little promo, and then Dean Ambrose joined the party, claimed that he wanted his rematch, and John Cena kind of lit Dean Ambrose up in a promo that I have not seen for a very long time from John Cena, and it was great.
Yeah, very enjoyable segment. I like the fact that Dean Ambrose came out last, because normally if you lose your belt, you're going to come out first and then everybody else kind of trickles in that feels like they deserve a shot at the belt. So to see Dean Ambrose kind of change the order up, have John Cena come out first, everyone kind of forgot about John Cena. I'm sure AJ Styles doesn't want you to forget that he beat John Cena, but John Cena comes out first, says, you know what? I want to be the 16-time champion. You're the guy that I have to go through. I'm established here. I could go for a title anytime I want. You only have that belt because I let you have that belt. Now it's my turn. So I love that idea that, you know what, John Cena deserves a title shot anytime he wants. Because you know what? That's true.
That's true.
And it's factual that if John Cena wants to run at the belt, the WWE is going to give it to him.
Absolutely.
So there you go. You've got John Cena coming out. And then Dean Ambrose comes out and says, hello, this was my belt.
I get my rematch.
Right, I brought this belt over from Raw to SmackDown, and I deserve my rematch. And I really, really like that. And then to have, you know, there's no storyline previous besides the Shield for John Cena and Ambrose. And to have them go out each other realistically, I guess you could say, you know, Ambrose basically saying, well, you're a part-timer and there's no way in you know what that I'm going to lose to a part-time old man John Cena. And John Cena says, why are you complaining about losing the belt to a low blow when you crotched AJ Styles on the rope and basically hung him there? So you know, it all made sense. And Dean Ambrose, you know, I loved both sides of this. John Cena came out with fire that we didn't see when he was talking to AJ Styles. So automatically you have the most interesting storyline, in my opinion, in WWE. If not, so just on the SmackDown brand, this is the biggest storyline. You could make the argument the Kevin Owens Triple H thing, but that's kind of been put on hold right now. So to me, the most interesting storyline is what in the world is going on between John Cena, Dean Ambrose, and AJ Styles.
It hurts my heart a little bit listening to Dean Ambrose call John Cena a lazy part-timer.
Yeah.
As a wrestling fan,
the lazy part's wrong.
Well, you can't call John Cena a part-timer. He works all the live events. Yeah. And we know that as wrestling fans with access to the internet, we know that he works all the live events. So to call him a part-timer is ridiculous.
Right.
If anything, he has built WWE to this mainstream brand. Do you think WWE would have a tab on ESPN if it wasn't for John Cena?
No. And I mean, there's people before him that have created
Rock,
that.
Stone Cold, exactly. Flair, Hogan.
Exactly. But I agree with you that now the most important name to WWE is John Cena.
John Cena.
You know, and that will change in 5 years, I think. Maybe 10,
yeah,
depending on how long.
I'm thinking there are a couple guys that could kind of take over his role right now.
Yeah, there's not many, though.
I would say I can think of four off the top of my head, if booked correctly, that could challenge John Cena for that spot.
Right, and I mean, we could do that. That's a whole other podcast that we could get into the future of WWE and where that's going to go. But, you know, kind of back to this feud, I'm very interested to see what happens. I just think that they did a good job within the first 10 minutes of a show to say, these are our guys, and you know it, and we know it, and we're going to put them all together, and we're going to send them at each other at the next pay-per-view. I'm very interested to see what happens.
And the next pay-per-view is No Mercy, and that, I believe, is 4 weeks away. So we will see those two go at it in a triple threat match in 4 weeks. So that's going to be it for this Raw and SmackDown review from the DNA Wrestling Podcast. If you missed our news and notes and our Backlash review, be sure to check out audioboom.com. Search Average Joe Sports Show, and we are under the DNA Wrestling Podcast playlist.